And good morning. Welcome to From the Stand from the Roscoe Morton Broadcast Tower. This week we're spending some time talking to a variety of guests, from authors to SR-71 pilots, and I hope you join us throughout the week for some great interviews here on EIA Radio. From the Stand is supported by the Commemorative Air Force, honoring America's military aviation heritage through flight, remembrance, and education. With more than 11,000 members operating more than 160 vintage aircraft, the CAF is the world's largest private air force in the world. More information at commemorativeairforce.org. And this morning we'll find out about America's secret MiG base with Colonel Gail Peck, check in with CAF President and CEO Steve Brown, and also listen in with John Zapp of the Flying Musicians. But first, we're going to talk flying helicopters. Lindy Kirkland is our first guest this morning. Good morning, Lindy.
Good morning, Steve.
Welcome to Oshkosh.
Great to be here.
You are, by trade, a helicopter pilot.
I am.
And a Marine.
I am.
I've seen the bumper stickers. It says there's no
once
such thing.
Once a Marine,
thing.
Always a Marine.
Exactly. There's no such thing as an ex-Marine. Yeah. But not only did you fly military helicopters, you also flew a very special helicopter.
I did.
The Marine One, which for folks who may recognize that name but not quite put two and two together, that's the helicopter that picks the president up at the White House and takes him to Air Force One and back and forth.
Correct.
All right. So how did you become involved in aviation to start with, the military?
Steve, like many people here, I grew up sort of very much in love with airplanes, and I didn't grow up in an aviation family, so it was just something that was innate in me. And all through school, I built a lot of models, as many people do, and was fortunate enough to earn an ROTC scholarship and be able to get my flight training through the Marine Corps, and had a great career, and just really have continued to enjoy and love all of aviation, not just the military stuff.
All right. What ratings do you hold currently?
Currently, ATP, Hilo, and multi-engine commercial, and CFI Hilo as well.
Okay. And fixed wing?
Multi-engine commercial, okay. Single-engine commercial.
All right. Great. And I also understand that you're building an airplane.
Yes, I'm helping a very good friend of mine on an RV-8. His money and my bucking bar skills, and we're making a good team.
Good, good. How soon before that airplane flies?
We're 95% done, 95% to go.
Sounds like a typical home builder.
Yes, a couple of years.
And, of course, you'll bring it to Oshkosh, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Good. Tell us a little bit about your career with the Marine Corps and how you ended up getting trained as a military aviator and transitioning to Marine One.
Sure. I had the good fortune of attending flight school in Pensacola, as all naval aviators do, and got my wings in 1985 and got selected to fly Cobras, AH-1 helicopters. So initially I went to the East Coast and flew for HMLA 167, a couple of deployments to the Mediterranean and to the Persian Gulf. Went back for a short term as an instructor. During that time, Desert Storm kicked off, so I got interrupted. My instructor tour went to Desert Storm, flew with MAG 39 there, came back, went to school, went to the West Coast for 4 years, spent 4 years Camp Pendleton with HMLA 369. Then after that, I was in the D.C. area working at Naval Air Station Patuxent River, and a good friend of mine was with HMX-1, the squadron that flies Marine One. And I was thinking about what my next step was, and he said, well, you ought to come to HMX. I said, I'm a Cobra guy. I don't do transport, right? And he said, no, you really like it. And so I applied and was selected and had a great 5 years in the Marine Corps flying with Marine Helicopter Squadron 1.
Great. What years were you flying Marine 1?
I was there, got there in June of 2001, right before 9/11, which had a lot of changes for us, as you can imagine. And I flew there until 2006 when I retired from the Marine Corps.
All right. What's the genesis of Marine 1? I mean, we kind of know the story of Air Force 1, yep. But Marine 1, that's a little different.
Well, if you look back through the history, President Roosevelt was vacationing, and they had already started having helicopters near him. The new helicopters were pretty new. Marine Helicopter Squadron 1 actually started in 1947 as an experimental squadron to kind of figure out what to do with this newfangled thing called a helicopter. And so as part of that, they were doing presidential support duties, and President Roosevelt needed to get back to D.C. very quickly, so they were able to fly him, and what would normally be about a 40-minute ferry ride was about a 6-minute helicopter ride, and that was sort of the genesis of the mission of supporting the president.
Great. I guess a little trivia here. We'll put you on the spot. Do you remember the models of helicopters that have been used as Marine One?
The H-34 was one of the first used as Marine One, and then the H-3. We had the VH-3 Alpha, and now we're only up to the VH-3 Delta and the VH-60 November. So very, very short. Those currently in service, the VH-3 Deltas, the newest one was built in 1976.
Okay.
So they're very old helicopters.
But well-tested.
Well-tested, well-cared for, maintained immaculately. And we are now in the process of developing and building a replacement helicopter.
Okay. Do we know what the replacement will be?
We do. It is Sikorsky was selected as the vendor. It will be, it's currently called VXX because they have not given it a number designation, but it will be a variant of the S-92.
Okay. What's the interior like in Marine One?
You know, I tell people, and when we would take people on tours of the aircraft, it's very nice, it's very clean, but it's not at all like a Gulfstream 500 or anything like that. It's not plush, you would say. But it's very nice. It's a cloth interior, unlike some of the leather interiors, things like that. But it's very functional, efficient, and it gets the job done.
Great. We're talking with Lindy Kirkland, who had the privilege of flying Marine One and several presidents back and forth on their missions. There's obviously, as you mentioned, 9/11 changed a lot of things, a lot of security that goes into the preparation for a mission. But how long did it actually take for you and your squadron mates to put together a lift mission?
Well, I laugh because one of the things that the squadron does very well is they have a lot of standard operating procedures. And so most presidential lifts are fairly cookbook, and so it goes by the book, and the procedures are very standardized. So the brief really takes on the order of 5 or 6 minutes to brief an entire flight. Some of the more complex maneuvers when we're flying the president in a different location and doing different things requires a little bit more preparation. We also have advance officers who go before the squadron and the aircraft arrive, and they largely do a lot of the flight planning and the landing zones and looking at those. And so when the aircraft arrive and the air crew get there to brief, a lot of the homework has already been done.
Okay. You mentioned different locations. It's not just flying from the White House to Andrews.
Right.
Where are some of the other places that you've personally flown?
Oh, wow. Literally all over the world. Wherever the president goes, the Marine Helicopter Squadron 1 is there in support of the Office of the President. Some of my most unique trips, we went to Belfast, Northern Ireland, got to fly there. Turkey was a very interesting place. We did many, many trips to Camp David, and when President Bush was there, Waco. We were in Waco a good bit. But Mexico, got to fly in Monterrey, Mexico, so a little bit of the whole world.
All right. And going to those different places, the helicopter, is that ferried in a C-5 or C-17, or is it flown?
Both. Depending on the length of the trip and how many other trips there are going on in the world at the time, we will either ferry the aircraft. We've ferried them all the way east coast to west coast. In fact, I flew the aircraft east coast all the way into Monterrey, Mexico, and back. But we do a lot of lifts with the Air Force and the C-17 and C-5, mostly C-17 now.
Okay. And refueling capabilities built in?
We do not have aerial refueling
capabilities,
so that's one of the reasons that we do use the C-17 lift capability.
Okay. So in your time from 2001 to 2006, the presidents that you flew included, as you mentioned, George Bush.
Yes.
And
his father. Okay. That was about the only two that we flew during that period. Yeah, lots of different heads of state. We did the G8 summit in Georgia at the time during the 2004 time frame, and we got to fly 19 different heads of state during that evolution.
Wow.
So you get to see a lot of the world.
Excellent. How many folks are working on the maintenance of Marine One? And there's more than one helicopter.
Sure.
It's really the designation
that
the helicopter that has the president takes on.
The aircraft are maintained by Marine Helicopter Squadron 1. Then there is a fleet of the aircraft, as you said. The aircraft that the president boards becomes Marine 1 when he's on board the aircraft. So there are hundreds of maintainers, literally hundreds. We are the largest squadron in the Marine Corps, more like a aircraft group in size.
All right. Some of your, you mentioned flying some of the heads of state, obviously the presidents, but any missions that kind of stand out as either a little on the edge, or one that you're particularly proud of?
Yeah, well, I mentioned the G8 summit. That was an interesting evolution. All 19 heads of state had flown in very orderly manner, and we flew them all down to the landing zone. They flew into Hunter Army Airfield in Savannah, and then they went down to the landing zone near the resort that they were staying. On the retrograde, it was, again, supposed to be very orderly, but, of course, they all wanted to leave at exactly the same time. So we had a plan mapped out. We went to brief. The CO said, in about 12 minutes, we need to be airborne with all 30 aircraft.
Wow.
And so, literally, we briefed it, launched the aircraft, got down to the airport in Georgia, and then, of course, all the heads of state drove up, got on the aircraft, and off we went.
Wow. Logistical challenge.
Yes.
Definitely. And there may not be a typical mission, but for you as a pilot coming into the White House, you have probably one of the best views of anyone from the air.
Yeah.
Coming in and approaching the White House. Describe what that's like.
Well, the south lawn of the White House, as you well know, is a very, very small landing zone, lots of trees and some historical things there. When we approach, we come in right by the Washington Monument, 200 feet. Make a slight left turn, come in over the fountain, and we're actually aiming over to the left, more toward the Oval Office. We come to a hover, make a right-hand pedal turn, and then move forward to land on these metal discs that are there. We call them the boards. And it's an interesting exercise in communication and coordination, because the pilot flying the aircraft from the right seat can't see the boards at all. So the co-pilot is looking out the left side of the aircraft and calling and talking the pilot onto the board. So he'll give commands like, you're 10 feet aft, come down, come easy left, easy right. You're over the back of the boards. And so you try to land on the back of the boards, and then you roll it forward so that the white stripes on the boards bisect the tire and all those nice things for the pictures.
And all of your landings were perfect, correct?
Oh, perfect, yes, absolutely.
Excellent. Lindy, just a few moments left here. Thoughts about Oshkosh so far?
Oshkosh is great. The weather's perfect this year. it's always a great show. This is my eighth or ninth time here, and, you know, I wouldn't miss it. I love it. It's a fantastic event, as always, and EAA does such a great job.
Good. Well, and as I said earlier, glad to have you back. Maybe pick up a few items for the RV project on your way out the door, right?
Sure.
And one of these years, look forward to having you bring your RV up here, and we'll talk about that.
Sounds good.
All right. Lindy Kirkland, who had the privilege of flying Marine One, and we appreciate you taking some time out of your day today and looking at airplanes and talking with us. So you are listening to From the Stand on EIA Radio.